Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, hey, good morning to you. My name is Rob, one of the pastors at Next Level, and I did say good morning, so how you doing?
Good morning!
Awesome, great to see you guys today. If it's your first time with us, I want to say welcome to you, and I want to let you know about something that we do each and every week. As a part of the talk or the sermon, we partner with a free app called YouVersion. And there's no catch to this. We don't collect any of your information from this. It's simply a way to take the sermon to the next level for you. And specifically, it's a free app. You can download it at the App Store. If you have the godly iPhone or the lesser, the godly Droid, you can download it. Droid, I'll pray for you. So you can download that at the store. It is free. It is under the name Bible, and then click on YouVersion. The steps are up there. But it's a great way for you to get a little bit more out of the talk. You can also take notes there. So if you're a regular attender, go ahead and open YouVersion. If you're first time, feel free to download it on our free Wi-Fi. By the way, we offer free Wi-Fi. Can't promise how fast it is, but it is free. Well, last week we kicked off a brand new series entitled Seven Marks of Spiritual Maturity. And kicking off that series, we gave the first mark. We believe that if you are a Christian here today, then you are called to become spiritually mature. And the Bible talks a lot about maturing in your faith. And so we're going to look at seven ideas, seven marks that are going to help us, that are going to spur us on to maturing in our faith. And so last week we looked at the first one. I just want to test you, if you were here last week, if you weren't here, you're off the hook. If you weren't here last week, though, what was the first mark that we looked at? Shout it out. Healthy Christians grow. That's incredible. Thank you very much for remembering that. Healthy Christians grow. It is the idea that if you're here today and you can say, yes, I am a Christian, I've signed. By the way, what's wrong with this section right here? The kids were sitting there. Okay. I got panicked for a second. I was like, is there something I don't know about in that section right there? I have no idea. A total ADD moment. Where was I going? Last week we were talking about healthy Christians grow. And it is this idea that if you're here today and you would say that, yes, I'm a Christian, then you are to be growing. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You should be growing and maturing in your faith. And last week we talked about that either you were growing closer to God or you're growing further apart. There is no holding pattern. And we challenged you last week to grow, to mature, to have a desire. If you don't have a desire, to talk to God, ask Him to give you a desire, because healthy Christians grow. And this is something that is so important for us to understand, because the church today, and when I say church, I don't just mean Next Level Church, I mean the church as a whole. The church in America is filled with people who have been Christians for a long time, but they're not progressing and growing in their faith. And I think that goes against God's plan for us. In fact, it is illustrated perfectly in a video that we made a while ago. And this video actually illustrates maturity, but it also illustrates maturity in another way, in an unintentional way, in the fact that it shows how we've grown. The video I want to show you is the very first video that we ever made as a church. And videos, the way that it works, our worship pastor, the guy that's standing right here, his name is Stephen, he has a big beard. He does all our media and all of our videos, and he is incredibly embarrassed about the video that I'm about to show you. I still like it, but he is embarrassed about it. And we have grown as a church, the level of videos that we're able to put together, so he would not want me showing you this. But I think it illustrates perfectly what we're supposed to be doing as Christians. So I want to show you one of the first videos we ever made. Check this out. Thank you. chuckle out of that video, but that is, in all actuality, not a funny thing that happens in the church today. But in the church today, we have people who have been Christians for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and they are growing physically. We can see that they're getting older, but their faith is still very immature. And if we saw that, if we saw an adult sitting in a crib with a bib on taking a bottle, we would say, there's something wrong with that. But yet in the church, we don't question it. So this series is meant to spur all of us on, to help us to go to maturity. So today I want to talk to you about the second marker, and the second marker of spiritual maturity is maturing Christians have character. Maturing Christians have character. Follow along in YouVersion, feel free to take some notes, but maturing Christians have character. And I want to show you this through our text today. Our text is coming from the New Testament book of 1 Peter. Peter is an incredible guy for us, and he's really important for us because Peter is proof that God can use anybody. Peter was a mess up. He was a screw up. Peter was a guy that denied that he even knew Jesus on the night that Jesus was crucified. And yet, Jesus forgave him and used him to become a leader of this thing called the church, this new movement that happened 2,000 years ago. Peter became one of the founders, one of the first pastors, and Peter wrote two letters that we have in our New Testament. The letter I'm going to read to you is a portion from 1 Peter. It's coming in the second chapter. It's going to come on the screen, or it's also in YouVersion for you. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, now let's just stop there just for a second. Whenever you see the words therefore, you've heard me say this before if you've been at Next Level for a while, but whenever you see the words therefore in the Bible, you need to ask yourselves what?
What is it there for?
What's it there for? This is really important, and the reason this is important is because the word therefore is a building block. He's making an assumption that you've read what has happened before, and if we don't read what's happened before, we're going to jump into something, and we can take it out of context. So whenever you're reading the Bible, whenever you're studying it, whenever you're looking at it on your own, you need to go through it. If you see the word therefore, jump in and say therefore. Okay, let me read a few verses before that and see what is he saying. And Peter is saying in chapter 1, he's making this plea for Christians to be holy. And he says, therefore, you need to be holy as God is holy. Jesus is holy. And if you're a Christian, Jesus is living inside of you. And you are therefore then to represent him and to be holy. He then builds upon this idea that where we get the therefore. I want to read it to you. We're going to rewind just a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 1, 23 through 25. He says, for you have been born again. And I want to stop there just for a second. If you're new to the church scene, if you haven't been in church for a while, maybe you haven't heard this idea of being born again. It is an idea that the New Testament talks about a lot. All of us have a physical birth. We were born at one point. We celebrate that with our birthday. But when you become a Christian, you have a spiritual birth. And the Bible paints this picture that your soul is reborn. And so even if you became a Christian at the age of 20 or 30 or 50, your soul becomes like a baby again. It becomes reborn. It is new. And you have to teach your soul how to mature in its faith in God. And so Peter is saying, for you have been born again. So he's talking to Christians today. If you're not a Christian, if you're just checking things off, you're off the hook today. You can just sit back, relax. This is for those that would say, yep, I signed up on the dotted line. So for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. So I want to explain what Peter is saying here, because this is how we get the therefore. This is building upon the therefore. And Peter is saying that since you were born again, you were born again because you heard a word from the Lord. And the word from the Lord is living. It is active. And then he goes into quote. I don't know if you noticed the quotes in the verses, but he is quoting someone. And if you're ever reading the Bible on your own and you see quotes, ask yourself, who is he quoting? Do a little bit of research. Google is amazing. Find out who is he quoting. Figure this out. Because in this verse, Peter is quoting Isaiah. He is a prophet that happened years and years before Jesus. And Peter is quoting scripture, Old Testament scripture. And he's saying that everything in this world dies. Everything passes away. The grass, the trees, every building, every human being, everything passes away. If there is one thing that is going to last forever, it is the word of the Lord. It is God's word, which we have now through the Bible. Now, this is incredible for us because Peter quotes Isaiah and he paints this picture of that the Bible is like a seed. It is a seed that when it's planted, it does something. It grows. And so there are times when you hear a sermon preached or you read the Bible on your own, and you don't think that it's doing anything. You just kind of say, okay, you know, that's a great verse, or that's an all right verse, or I'm kind of bored with that verse. You may not think it's doing anything, But the Bible, when it is really received, when you really say, I receive it and I believe it, it starts off as a little seed, but then it starts to grow. How many of you grew up going to church? How many of you grew up going to church? Okay, that's a lot of you. That's great. How many of you grew up going to youth group when you were in middle school and high school? Okay, awesome. I can't wait for us at Next Level to get a youth group. We're in the process of hiring a youth pastor, and I cannot wait. I had an amazing youth group experience, but my youth group experience was in the 90s, and so almost everything we did was incredibly cheesy. It was really goofy, and it was nothing like what our youth are going to experience once we get a youth pastor. But when I was a teenager in the youth group, we would sing songs, and every song that we sang had motions to it. And I don't know why. I don't know who came up with this idea, but it was incredibly cheesy, and most of the songs weren't cheesy. They weren't passionate songs like we sing today. They weren't songs that really moved me. They were just cheesy songs with motions. We sang a song, if you remember, maybe you remember it. Pharaoh, Pharaoh, oh, baby, let my people go. Remember that song? Thank God if you didn't grow up learning that song. But I grew up in youth group, and we learned a song that is referencing this verse. And the song had some motions. And the motions went like this. The word of God, and you would take your hand and cup it. Go ahead, it's an all play. You can play along. Okay, the word of God is like a little bitty seed. You take both hands, you put it up here. And I don't know what this has to do with seeds, but this was the motion. Okay? Word of God, a little bit of seed. Scattered all around. And then you repeat it. The word of God is like a little bitty seed. Scattered all around. And then this is the big part. This is the part we all look forward to. You got some in the road and some in the weed, but everywhere you look, you got the little bitty seed. High pitched voice, okay? And then you repeat it. The word of God. It's like a little bitty seed scattered all around. So I think you guys got it. Now, this is an alt play. I don't want to embarrass someone and call you out. So we're not too cool for this. If I had to endure this in youth group, you're going to endure this today. So I want everyone to do this now, okay? Ready? It goes like this. The word of God is like a little bitty seed scattered all around. The word of God is like a little bitty seed scattered all around. You got some in the road and some in the weed, but everywhere you look, you got little bitty seed. The word of God is like a little bitty seed, scattered all around. Awesome. Now, it is a perfect picture of what God's word is, and we have God's word through the Bible today. God's word is a little bitty seed, but it is a seed that can produce fruit. And if you look out at like an apple orchard and you just see all the massive trees with all the fruit, you think, this is incredible. How did it get here? Well, it all started with little bitty seeds. And the word of God, it is like little bitty seeds, and it grows and it spurs us on to change. So now that we understand the context, let's go back to our verse for the day. Peter says in 1 Peter 2:1, therefore, what is the therefore? Therefore, the therefore is there for you to remember that you are called to be holy because God is holy. And you can be holy because the word of God is like little bitty seeds scattered all around and is growing in you. And that's how you got saved, because you heard the word of God. So therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. So Peter gives a list, and I don't know for sure how he picked this list. I don't know why he left some things off, why he included these things, but he gave a list, and he's talking to Christians and saying, hey, if you're a Christian here today, therefore, since you're called to be holy, therefore, since you've heard the word of God that is changing your life, you need to get rid of these things. And it lists some things: malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. I don't know about you, but I struggle with the English language, so I often have to look in the dictionary for what words are. And that first word, malice, I wasn't real sure what malice meant. I knew it wasn't good, but I wanted to know the exact definition. So Peter says we need to get rid of malice. Well, this is the definition of malice. It is the intention or desire to do evil, ill will. So Peter says, get rid of any intention or desire to do evil. Now, this is incredibly important for us, because just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you always desire to do what's right. In fact, there are times when we are tempted, there are times when we are motivated and desire to do what's wrong. And Peter is saying, no, no, no. If you've chosen to follow Jesus because he first loved you, then there are times, even when you don't feel like it, you need to throw off the evil. You need to throw it off and say, hey, I know I'm not supposed to do that. It feels right. It feels okay. I'm not even convicted by it, but I'm going to throw it off. I'm going to get rid of malice or the desire to do evil. He says, then get rid of all deceit. Get rid of all deceit. And this is an important one because God is a God of truth. And so if we're God's people, we should be speaking truth. We should be speaking honestly to one another and about one another. I once did a lesson on honesty and how Christians are called to be honesty to a small group of guys. And one of the freshman guys came up to me after the lesson and he said, Rob, I'm really struggling with this. I said, why are you struggling with this? He said, well, I know that God doesn't want me to lie. I know that God wants me to be truthful. But what do I do when a chick asks me if she looks ugly and she's ugly? Like, I'm not supposed to be mean and tell her that she's ugly. Like, what do I do? And I laughed at that, but I also thought, I laughed a lot harder than you guys did. I also thought that I love this question because here was a teenager who was actually wrestling with the text. He wasn't just nodding his head and then walking out and forgetting it. He was actually wrestling with it and was saying, okay, here's the situation in my life. If God is calling me to be honest, and there have been our girls who ask me how they look, I don't want to be mean because God doesn't want me to be mean. What do I do? So I kind of wrestled with it for a little bit, and this is where I landed on. I said, well, first of all, I think that girls need to just get rid of asking guys their opinion unless they are ready for a complete brutal honesty. So if you don't want to know if you look fat, don't ask your guy if you look fat. If you don't want to know if he thinks you look beautiful, don't ask. But I also think that if a girl asks a guy this, that we need to look at the lens of God, not the lens of human factor. The human factor would say, well, in my opinion, you may not be as beautiful as a supermodel or an actress or as another girl. We need to honestly look at it and say, I can tell today that you've worked really hard, and every single person has the ability to look the most beautiful that they can. And so yesterday, I think you look beautiful. We need to be able to be honest and lift them up in a way that doesn't compare them. It doesn't need to compare and contrast. That is a total side note that has nothing to do with the talk, except for the fact that you are called to not have deceit, to not be liars. He then says, get rid of all hypocrisy. Let's talk about hypocrisy for a second. Hypocrisy is actually from a Greek idea. It is this idea of actors back in the Greek days, in ancient Greece, and actors would wear these masks, and they were called hypocrites. And back then, an actor wasn't something that we celebrated like we do today. It wasn't something that we loved or we said, hey, I want their autographs. It was actually kind of looked down upon because they thought to themselves, if you can trick me into believing that you're something that you're not, then you are a person that is full of deceit. So they called them hypocrites. Actors were hypocrites. So the idea of being a hypocrite is wearing a mask, is pretending to be something that you're not. And I want you to hear today, whether you're first time in church or you've been coming to church for a long time, the problem with being a hypocrite is not that you have issues in your life. The problem with being a hypocrite is that you ignore the issues and pretend that you don't have them. And no one in this world, no one holds it against you when you are honest and you say, hey, you know what, I have some struggles. In fact, people would say that's refreshing. You hear a Christian say, I don't have all the answers, I'm struggling in this life. You'll find people that will say, that's very refreshing. I've never met someone that was honest about their struggles. A hypocrite, though, is someone that pretends to have it all together. A hypocrite is someone that stands up and says, hey, you need to live right because I'm living right. But then behind closed doors, they are hiding some shameful things. Every single one of us in this room is imperfect. Every single one of us in this room has flaws and failures. And Peter is saying, hey, listen, instead of hiding those things and pretending to be something that you're not, get rid of it. Throw off the acting. Stop pretending like you're something that you're not. Be authentic with one another. He then says, throw off envy. Envy is wanting something that someone else has. But the problem with envy is not just that you want something that someone else has. The problem with envy is that you're not thankful for what God has given you. God has given you things, but when you look at someone else's job and say, why can't I have that job? You are not being thankful for the job that God's given you. When you look at Facebook and you say, oh, look how happy their family is. Why can't my family be this happy? You are being envious and you are in return not thanking God for the family that he has given you. When you look at someone else and you think, man, how come they have this great job, or they have these great looks, or they have this car? When you envy someone else, it is a slap in the face of what God has given you. And Peter is saying, get rid of it. Throw that away. Get rid of all envy. Just get it out of here. Instead, thank God for what you have. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Slander is simply making a false or damaging statement about someone. And our problem today with slander is that we think that if we have an opinion about someone, that means it's true. We think that if we have... We think that if we have an opinion, if our opinion says that someone is a liar, they must be a liar, even if the facts aren't there. If we think that someone is a jerk, then we're going to tell someone they're a jerk, even though the facts may not be there. We think that our opinion is fact. But slander is tearing anyone's name down. And just because you think something doesn't mean it's true. And Peter is saying, hey, listen, if you're a Christian today, if you're to be building others up, you're to be talking in a higher standard. Do not slander one another. Now, ultimately, this list of things that Peter has given us, ultimately, this same list of character things, it is things that are that you can just sum up everything in who you are and the idea of character. And this is really important because maturing Christians have character. I want to show you the definition of what character is. It is the mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. The mental and moral qualities distinctive to an individual. Your character is are the things that are distinctive to you. Who are you? What is your personality? Who are you? What are you about? What are the things that drive you? That is your character. And I grew up going to Liberty Baptist Church, and from middle school all the way through the first couple years of college. I had a pastor by the name of Al Gilbert, and Al used to talk about character a lot. And Pastor Al, he would often say this, character is who you are when no one is looking. Character is who you are when no one is looking. This list of things that Peter has given us, these things of not slandering, of not envying, it is all about who are you. And it is one thing to be a good person when the pastor is looking. It's one thing to be a good person when you're in church. It's one thing to be a good person when you think you're going to get caught. It's another thing to be mature and to have character that says, hey, this is who I am, even when no one is looking. Even when the cameras are off, even when no one is posting anything on Facebook about me, even when I'm not pretending, this is who I am. These are the decisions that I make. These are things that drive me. Even if I won't get caught, this is who I am. And a mature Christian has character, possesses these things. Character is who you are when no one is looking. So I want to do a little bit of comparing and contrasting based off this understanding of character. I want to do a little comparing and contrasting of an immature Christian versus a mature Christian. Maturing Christians have character. Immaturity asks, can I get away with it? Maturity asks, is it right? Immaturity changes based off the circumstances. Maturity stays the same no matter the circumstances. Immaturity talks behind people's backs. Maturity won't say anything behind someone's back that they won't say to their face. Immaturity cheats. Maturity does what's right even when it's difficult. Immaturity hides mistakes. Maturity comes clean and changes. And Peter is challenging us today that if you are a Christian, you're called to a higher standard. Does that mean that you're perfect? No. Every single one of us are going to make mistakes. But you should be maturing towards having character to where it is natural for you to choose to do what's right, even when no one is looking. I, though, am not always perfect by any means, and I, at times, have God yelling at me through a megaphone about some character flaws that I have, and one of those character flaws that has come up a few times has to do with the laws of the road, including things like speeding and following law, the signs that they've given us. In fact, in February, I try to obey speeding, but most people will say that I drive way too slow, and most people are annoyed when they drive, and I feel like I'm a pretty good driver. But there are times when I am tested, when I am in a pressure cooker situation, where I lacked character. And this past February, I was headed out for a meeting, and I was in dire need of caffeine. It was going to be a long meeting day, and I just needed some caffeine. We had no caffeine at the house. So I went to 7-Eleven and I got some caffeine. And 7-Eleven had a few issues. I won't slander them by any means. They're really good people with great personalities. But they had some issues that day, and it made me late to my meeting. And so once I got my beverage, I was feeling really stressed. Because now I was early, but now I'm running late. So I pull out of the 7-Eleven parking lot, and it says I can only go right. Why? I have to go left. So I go right, and I drive for about half a block, and I get into the very first turn lane I can to do a U-turn. I pull into the turn lane, and I stop my car, and when I stop, I look up, and there is a no U-turn sign. Those are from the devil. If you work in any type of government capacity, would you please remove those signs? I don't understand. Like, how am I supposed to turn around? Like, I don't want to go this way. I want to go the other way. So I sat there, and I debated it, and I'm looking at the clock, and I'm feeling stressed, and I'm like, there's absolutely no one on this road for miles. Like, there's not going to be any harm if I do a U-turn and I go the way that I have to go, because I don't know where my next turn is going to be. I could end up in North Carolina before I can turn around. So I made the decision, because I thought no one was looking, to do a U-turn. And God has an incredible sense of humor with me. I don't know if he has a sense of humor with you, but whenever I think that I can get away with something, he sends a policeman. And literally 5 seconds of going the way that I needed to go, police lights came on. I have no idea where this cop was. He was in an SUV. He pulled out of nowhere and he pulled me over to the side of the road. And I tried to come clean. I didn't deny it. He said, you know, I pulled you over. I said, yes, I did an illegal U-turn. But I told him, I said, I'm late for a meeting. I'm a pastor at a church. I'm trying to pull the pastor off. Girls, you can cry. I got the pastor card. So I said, I'm a pastor at a church. I have a meeting. I'm running late for it. And I didn't know where else I could turn around. I'm new to this area and to the area of that street. And I didn't know when I could turn around. And he said, look, thank you very much. I appreciate your honesty. Here's the ticket. I was like, oh, killing me. I got a ticket, and I couldn't fight it. I had to pay the ticket. Why? Because I committed the crime. My character did not match up with who I want to be. There was a character flaw. I thought no one was looking, and I took a shortcut. And character is who you are when no one is looking. Every single one of us in the room has some flaws. Every single one of us in the room is imperfect. But Peter is challenging us and trying to push us to mature. And he's saying, yep, you got some flaws, but you shouldn't have the same flaws today that you're going to have in 5 years, in 10 years. You should be maturing out of them. You should be learning from your mistakes. Guess what happens every time I get into a lane with a new U-turn sign? I do not make a U-turn from now on. I do not want to pay that ticket. I am learning from things. And as a Christian, you are called to be maturing. So this is the part of the verse that I love, because Peter raises the bar. If you're here today and you're new to this church scene, you might be saying, this is an incredibly high standard. Like, I don't know if I can do all that stuff. And I want to tell you that if you're a Christian, then Jesus has given you everything you need to live a godly life. It won't come easy. It's like being a newborn baby. You don't expect newborn babies to run a mile the first time they take a step. We understand that they're going to fall. They're going to make mistakes. But you should be maturing. You should be growing towards that. You don't have to be mature tomorrow, but you need to be aiming towards maturity. And Peter raises the bar for us, but then he doesn't just leave it there. He doesn't say, hey, I want you to do these things. Go get them, Tiger. He gives us application, and he tells us how we can mature in our faith. And I want to look at what he has to say next. He says in 1 Peter 2:2-3, he says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. So what is the application that Peter is giving? Well, Peter says that you need to get rid of all these things, these bad things, these character flaws. You need to get rid of them. You need to be a person of high character. Why? Because Jesus is a person of high character, and you're reflecting who Jesus is. You need to represent Jesus. And the application then is like a newborn baby craving pure spiritual milk. Now, if you took this verse out of context, you may not understand what is the pure spiritual milk that he's talking about. But based off the very first verse, where he started talking about the Word of God is like a little bitty seed, he is now giving another illustration. He says, not only is the Bible like little bitty seeds that grow inside of you when you believe it, it is also like milk, and it gives you nourishment. And like a newborn baby, if you're a Christian today, you should crave pure spiritual milk. That is, crave spending time in the Bible, reading the Bible, learning the Bible, applying the Bible to your life. That is how you grow. That is how you mature. That is how you grow past some of these character flaws. Now, I don't know if you have kids in the room or if it's been a while since you have kids, but I didn't fully understand this verse until I had kids of my own. We have twins now. They're 3.5 years old. And my kids were babies. My son, especially, help me understand what Peter meant. When Peter says, like newborn babies, craving pure spiritual milk, before kids, I didn't have a factor what that meant. But my son help you understand what that is. And some of you may have seen this video before, but this is a video from about 3 years ago, and I want to apologize in advance for my side boob. Check this out.
All right, this is RobChef.com and Hayden, and we're doing a little experiment here. If this plays out, he's going to do what he does every single mealtime. Now, you can see that he is really happy and content right now, but watch what happens when we transfer and put the bib on him. Watch. Hopefully, he will work this out. Something happens. Every time. Okay, the bib is on. And look how fussy he's getting. Why is he fussy? Because he knows it's dinner time. Now watch, as soon as I put this in his mouth, he's happy again. And that, my friends, is our routine. Every single time this Joker eats. We'll see you next time.
So Peter says the application, the way that you build character in your life, the way that you grow closer to God, is by listening to his word, by craving his word, and chewing it up and enjoying it. You need to crave it like a baby craves milk. Now, most of us in here have grown, and so we no longer crave milk. So I thought of an illustration that I think will help you crave what I'm talking about. This is an illustration that's based off of a challenge. I was challenged last week to see how many weeks in a row I could use donuts as an illustration. It's been 2 weeks in a row. This is a third week of donut illustrations. And I want to show you guys how. All right, if you guys in the back can't see, I'll stand back up here. I'll show you. This is a special edition of Ghostbusters. I thought they came out in 85, but this is a special edition of Ghostbusters. Does anyone know what this is? They're glazed, they're hot, I'm hearing. Does anyone know what kind of donut this is? The brand?
Krispy Kreme.
Okay? When I say Krispy Kreme, if you enjoy Krispy Kreme, what are some things that come to your mind? Just shout it out. What are some things? Hot donuts now, what's that? Dunkin' Donuts. Amen. What? Heaven comes to mind. There you go. When you eat a Krispy Kreme donut. Okay, has anyone in the room never had a Krispy Kreme donut? Milk comes to mind. That's great too. Anyone not had a Krispy Kreme donut? Okay, now, did anyone, when I, these were bought fresh this morning from Krispy Kreme, they're not the imitation kind you buy at the grocery store, these are the real deal. Has anyone, when you saw this, did anyone kind of, their mouth kind of start to water, did you start wishing, I wish that I could have one of those donuts. Thank you for being honest. There you go, you can have one of those. You're welcome. Anyone else? Anyone else, just when you saw this, you thought, yeah, all right. Anyway, don't be shy. There you go. It's all right. Just try to pick up after yourself. All right. We've got 12 of these things, so if you want one, we can. There you go. Don't be shy. There you go. That's now people are. Oh, he's being for real. He's giving them out. Here we go. It smells amazing. He said. All right. I think someone back here raised their hand. There's no Boston cream, ladies hot now donuts. All right, we had a few more hands up over here. There you go. Joy, we got a few more hands over here. All right, we got four left. Oh, hands are raised everywhere. All right, one more. All right, we got one more. I saw a hand over here. You do? Well, this guy's been raising his hand. Although I should reward you, yell out Dunkin' Donuts. All right, there you go. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know your background. I don't know. Maybe you're trying to be healthy. Maybe you're trying to watch your calories. I don't know your feelings or your thoughts when you see a Krispy Kreme donut. But when I see one, I want to eat it right then and there. I lose all willpower. this and everything in me wanted to just bathe in the donuts. I just wanted to just dive in. It is an incredible smell. I think that Krispy Kreme is absolutely amazing, and there is almost nothing better in this world than a hot glazed donut. It melts in your mouth. It is calorie free. It boosts your metabolism. Krispy Kreme are incredible donuts. And for some of you, since everyone in the room has raised their hand, some of you, as soon as you see one, you start to what? Crave it, and you want to have a taste of it. You want to experience it again because you've seen it. Now, you may not be thinking about a Krispy Kreme donut until you're driving down Mercury Boulevard and you see the red light that says Hot Now Donuts, and it's like a tractor beam, and you're like, because I've tasted it before, I've got to pull in. I don't care if I've just eaten dinner. I don't care if I've already had dessert. I don't care if I'm getting fitted for my wedding dress. I've got to go in and taste a Krispy Kreme donut. Why? Why does it have such a pull on us? Because we've tasted it before. And look at what Peter says once again. He says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. If you're here today and you would say that, yes, I am a Christian, it's because you've heard the word of God, and you would say, that is good. You've experienced God through hearing his word, and it's changed you. It's done something inside of you. And I love this word picture of now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, you would be craving spending time with him through the Bible. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's experiencing God. Once you've experienced a Krispy Kreme donut, you want to experience it again. No one in this room says, I had a Krispy Kreme donut 15 years ago. I'm good. You have another chance to spend time with the Krispy Kreme donut. You want to spend time with the Krispy Kreme donut because you've experienced it before. I believe with all my heart that if you don't crave Jesus, it is either because you've never tasted him or because you're too full of something else. There's no other reason that can explain. If you don't have a desire to spend time with Jesus, if you don't have a desire to crave his word, it is either because you truly never experienced the goodness of God or that you are too full of something else. When you experience Jesus, he does something. He puts a taste in your mouth. He gives you a desire to say, hey, you know what? I don't have to spend time reading the Bible. I want to spend time reading the Bible. And it's so important that I spend time with God because God has raised the standard. He said, hey, if you're a Christian, I love you no matter what, but I refuse to leave you that way. I want to raise the bar. You are representing me. And how does God change our character? It is through reading the Bible and applying whatever it says. Our goal as believers in Christ is not to learn or to do things. Rather, it is to be kind of the person whose character imitates God. At the end of the day, what we're challenging you to is not just that you have a list of things that you check off and say, okay, I have to go to church because that's a good thing for Christians to do. I have to read my Bible because that's a good thing for Christians to do. I have to do these things and just check them off. That's not what this is about. This is about imitating Christ. And God uses reading the Bible to change us from the inside out so that we can have character that imitates God. I love this quote by David Prezan. It says, your commitment shapes your character. Your commitment shapes your character. And you might be in here today and say, you know what, I don't really see the point of spending 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day reading the Bible. I don't really see that it does anything. Well, your commitment shapes your character. And if the Word of God is like little bitty seeds, when you spend time with them on a daily basis, it does something. It changes you from the inside out. And you find yourself growing. And even if it's slow growth over a period of 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, you can look back and say, I used to be a little bitty seed, but now I'm an apple orchard. And God is doing crazy things to me. But it comes through that commitment of saying, I'm going to build my character through tasting and seeing that the Lord is good on a daily basis. So here's the application for today. The application is simply this. Read the Bible every day this week. And do what it says. Read the Bible every day this week and do what it says. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you a Bible. If you love technology, download YouVersion. You can download an app that will help you read the Bible every day. We can give you reminders. Do whatever you can. Do your part to get rid of these things by craving, spending time with Jesus, and watch what God does. So the application is simply read the Bible every day this week and do what it says. This is so important because maturing Christians have character, and we build our character by spending time. You guys pray with me. God, thank you for this day. Thanks for your love for me and for us. God, we just ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would move us to you. God, we ask that you would help us to do what you tell us to do, even when it's hard. And God, today I just ask if we would be a people that would create you. I ask if you would speak to our hearts in a way that we would leave, not just nodding our heads and saying that was a decent sermon or a decent service, but that God, we would leave here desiring spending time with you, that we would never say we've had enough, that we would want more. God, I just ask if you would change us from the inside out, that we would be a people that crave spending time with you, talking about you, talking to you. God, we just ask that you would move in our lives, that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask for imagine for this church. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.